Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Blood Relative. Let me read you a few stories. If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it will always be yours. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours to begin with. But if it just sits in your living room, messes up your stuff, eats your food, uses your telephone, takes your money, and doesn't appear to realize that you had set it free, you either married it or gave birth to it. I just love poetry, so there you go. After 50 years of wondering why he didn't look like his younger sister or brother, the man finally got up the nerve to ask his mother if he was adopted. "Yes, you were, son," his mother said, as she started to cry softly, "but it didn't work out, and they brought you back." So, I'll just give you a minute on that one, because I thought that was... A little girl asked her mother, "How did the human race appear?" The mother answered, "God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so was all mankind made." 2 days later, the girl asked her father the same question. The father answered, "Many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved." The confused girl returned to her mother and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God, and Dad said they developed from monkeys?" The mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your dad told you about his." So, there you go. This morning already, or today already, I saw two guys standing in the back of the auditorium, and I asked one of them, I said, "Are you guys here alone?" And he said, and then stopped himself, he said, "My people," he said, "well, my family is out in the lobby." I said, "Your people? Like, all your people?" You know? Now, happened to be an African-American kid, and that was his way of expressing it. Let me just cut to the chase where I'm going today. This is my people. You are my people. And we are each other's people. Now, here's what I'm going to try to say, and I got a bunch of verses, and I don't normally scribble up my notes, and I got scribbles. I have no idea where this will end up. I do have some scripture to read, so it's going to be okay. As a pastor in a church doing what I do, I end up sitting down with a lot of people, and I hear some of the most jacked up stories that you can possibly imagine. Now, is everybody screwed up? Does everybody come from a just dysfunctional, messed up family? Maybe not completely messed up, but we all got challenges. And the hard thing sometimes is when you do church and you do the Bible and you open your Bible and, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus taught them to pray, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Our Father." You lose some people right there. Because for a lot of people, the idea of father is the worst thing on the planet. Their father, their mother, their home life, brothers and sisters, the stories of abuse where fathers are supposed to protect kids and hurt children. And moms are supposed to nurture children and provide for kids. And heinous things happen through moms, not all moms. And brothers and sisters doing things. So this whole idea of family, relatives, is a horrible thing. So then you take your junk, your crap, your life, it's a mess. Somebody invites you to church. You're hurting so bad, you're afraid maybe even to go to a church gathering. Because, you know, I mean, if these people knew me, my feeling was always, if these people knew me, they would have nothing to do with me. And I grew up in church and felt that way. But somehow you're in enough pain, you show up at a gathering, and then they start talking about the family of God and God being your father and that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. That ain't gonna work. Because my idea of family is not a good thing. And father, it doesn't really work. Let's go to a verse. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and let's jump down to verse 46. And without getting into everything that was going on, Jesus is, you know, doing some miraculous stuff. Verse 46, it says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him." So his family, his immediate family, his blood relatives are outside and they want to talk to Jesus. And look at what Jesus says. "Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" Now, did he completely abandon his family? Was he saying that, no, that is not my mother and my brothers? No, something trumped that. These are my blood relatives, but as we'll see hopefully by the time we're done today, he had other blood relatives, and we are the blood relatives bought by his own blood. Now, whether you like it or not, understand it, get it or not, this is a family. Whatever jacked up feeling or opinion you have about family, you're going to have to detox from that and process that, because what started out in the garden with Adam and Eve in a perfect situation, a perfect relationship with God and each other, that's what was intended. And that's what Jesus died to get us back to, the family that was intended. And it takes some time to process these things out, because families are problems. Families have problems. Families make problems. There's stuff that's happened in your family that nobody, you don't even think God knows what happened in your family. And you hope he doesn't, because it's so embarrassing. And yet we pile in here together, and I am stunned week after week when you people show up. I really am. I wake up some Sunday mornings kind of tired and think, wow, it'd be great just to sleep in. Why are we going to get up and go down and sit and sing a bunch of songs? We could get CDs and sing to those at home in the bed over a cup of coffee. You can listen to messages on the radio, on the internet, ad infinitum. You can just overdose on sermons. But family, there is something about family that can only be done together. There are some things that do not happen over the phone, in an email, in a text, on Facebook, on Twitter, on anything else you got. There are certain things that only happen eyeball to eyeball, face to face, hand to hand. We need each other along the way. And you say, well, I'm going to stay home today. I'm not going to go gather with the church. And the scripture absolutely has a verse about that. I'll read it in a minute. He said, I don't need to go. You know what? It may not be about you today. You say, well, I don't need to go. It may be that someone else needs you to be okay. And that's why you come and you walk to and fro throughout the building and look at each other and you go, wow, something's going on there, isn't it, Lord? He says, yeah, you're feeling good today. Tell you what you do. Go ask some questions. Go listen. Put your arm around somebody. Tell them it's going to be okay. I sent you today to them for a reason, because you've been where they've been. Yeah. What about me? What about me? You know what? It ain't about you all the time. Right. You got some peeps? Because see, the sad thing is, some people don't even have their own blood relatives who will show up in times like that. Right. But another kind of blood relative shows up. You think you don't need anybody until you need somebody. And you don't have to be dying. You can be living and dying and just need someone to come alongside. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's try that one. All these verses I have are pretty good verses. It's hard to find a bad one. Without reading this whole thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start at verse 18. It says this, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." And every once in a while, someone will say, well, I'd like to become a member of this church. And I say, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a point in your life where you made a decision to trust Christ alone, that he died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to give you eternal and abundant life? You understand that he shed his blood, The whole thing, you get it, you've received the gift of eternal life. Are you a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? They say, yes. You've been baptized. He said, everybody became a Christian, be baptized. Maybe you haven't done that yet, but you're working on getting that done. And they say, yeah. I say, then you're a member. He said, well, yeah, but I want to be a member of this church. Then show up. When you have a family meal, usually your family shows up to eat. They might bring a friend, but the family shows up, right? Somebody asked me this week, do you guys have a meal at least once a day as a family? A lot of families don't eat together anymore. That's what some of this is right here today. We are having a family meal. And we talk a little bit. We see how we're doing. We go back out. Maybe you don't even live in the same house anymore, but you can have family meals without living in the same house along the way and reconnect and encourage and say, what's up? Can I help you? What's going on? Because you're a family. Let's read again. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And you may say, well, I don't like what I am. I don't like my job. It's not about you liking it necessarily as it pleased him. Every once in a while, I think, well, God, it's not enough. I want to have more of an impact. You know, everybody's got a little ego. Everybody's got a little ego. Well, I want to do more. I want to do something bigger. I want to do something, whatever. He's like, you know what? This pleased me to put you right where I put you. Why don't you just pipe down peep squeak? That's in the Greek. And just be content and let me do what I'm trying to do through you right where you are. This is your spot. This is your place. This is your time. And then he goes on here and says, but now indeed there are many members, yet there's one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You can't be saying to somebody else, I don't need you. Whether you like each other or not, you need each other. We need each other. And by the way, if you don't like somebody at church, if you would focus more on loving them, which you don't have an option whether to love them or not, you'd be amazed who you end up liking based on loving. It's easier to love your way into liking somebody than like your way into loving somebody. Well, I don't like you. You're not like me. Just say, Lord, you told me to love this person, so I'm going to love them. We need each other. Go to John chapter 1. Let's do John chapter 1 and verse 10. And this is talking about Jesus here. And look what it says. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to what? Become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood. Now what he means here is not blood relatives in terms of this is my mom and dad, and I came from them. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, like, well, we decided to have a kid. This is God's doing. If you are a child of God, it is God's doing. And if you are his child, you are not an only child. Now, Jesus was his only begotten son, but because of what Jesus came and did, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, what he made possible then is this huge family of blood relatives because of the blood of Christ. So you are not an only child. Jesus was the only begotten son, but because of him, now we are all God's children. Whether you like it or not, if you meet a Christian, they are your brother or your sister, depending on their gender. And they are family, instant family. And somehow we need each other. And if you want to find out where somebody is spiritually, all you got to do is find somebody how old they are. When you hear this, I can do it by myself. They are about 2 years old. I can do it by myself. Oh, really? You stand back and say, knock yourself out. Let's see how that works out for you. And then all of a sudden, what do you hear pretty quick? Daddy, can you help me with this? They humble themselves and go, I can't do this by myself. And then they start crying out to God. It might behoove you to let a big brother, big sister come alongside and help you. Growing up, I was way too proud to let anybody tell me what to do. I had been called a pastor. I was somebody. I didn't need you people. And so I bumbled along for 20-something years because I was too arrogant, too proud, too, ignorant. I was going to say stupid, but I don't say stupid anymore, to ask for help. And God finally just let me run my traps, and I couldn't do it anymore. And I had to let someone else, an older man in my case, who offered to help me, I said, okay, I can't do it by myself. Will you help me? What else? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and following. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In other words, this is talking about in the Old Testament, you had a temple. In the temple, there was the holy place. There was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies is where God's presence was. So if you could get there, only one guy could get there, the high priest. And only once a year would he even go in there. Well, because of Jesus and his blood and his sacrifice, all of a sudden, everybody who is a Christian has access to the Holy of Holies. You can march right into God's presence and talk to him about anything. Now see, some people see prayer as walking up to God and saying, well, I got my list. Here's my stuff. Here's what I need. You know what? When you get in God's presence, your list may go out the window. This is about having the privilege of going into the presence of Almighty God and not getting anything. You got something just getting to be there. And you stand before him and you say, I am here to serve you. What do you need today? I came just to be with you. I can't believe this is even possible. But I'm here. I got a little song here for you. You're pretty amazing. And I found a song that kind of expresses that. And see, then somewhere along the way, God may look down or look at you in that situation and say, well, tell me something, son. Do you need anything? See, if someone as powerful as the President of the United States looked at you and said, well, sir, do you need anything while you're in the office? Is there anything I can do for you? You're probably not going to ask for a new car. You know what you ask for in that situation? You go prepared, you get in front of the President, and you probably end up saying, unless you've got something serious in your own family, if you're pretty much taken care of, you look at him and you say this, Mr. President, there's a situation of a fellow soldier that I'm aware of who's in a situation over here, and this is the problem, and I don't need anything for myself, sir. But I would ask you to use your authority to intervene on behalf of my soldier friend. Would you do that, sir? I'm not saying you never ask God for anything, but sooner or later you run through your list, and now you're just standing there, and God says, man, I'm glad you came back to see me today. How you doing? I'm okay. Anything I can do for you? Yeah. I met this family who lost their baby. Could you get some backup over there? It's about being with him. And when you're with him, then you want to be with his family. And then you show up here in these gatherings or wherever we gather, and you say, well, but you're just trying to pump information into us. No, I'm not. We are trying to get you into a relationship, a personal relationship with God, so that out of that, then you go, well, now I can have a relationship with other people that before was not possible. My family was a mess, but this family seems to work. They actually care about me. Now, can bad things happen to people in church? Absolutely. But the healthier your relationship was with God, the healthier it's going to be with each other. And people come in and go, I've been looking for this family my whole stinking life. I got me a real dad, a real father now, who's not going to leave me or forsake me or abandon me or my mama or my whatever. He's going to provide for me way past what I need. And I got brothers and sisters who love each other, and because I see them loving each other, I bet they're going to love me. I might stay here for a while. I might come to dinner with you people every once in a while. Because this seems to work. Is it perfect? No. But part of our job is to provide a family dinner, blood relatives who can be what God intended for us to be, regardless of economics or race or where you slept last night. Or what your particular sin or addiction or whatever it may be, where you come in and you raise your hand and say, you know what? I'm in trouble. I'm a mess. Can somebody help me? And somebody raise their hand and go, you know what? I was in that mess, and without Jesus, I'd still be in that mess, and I still got struggles, but I'll help you. Here, come ride with me. Did I ever read that thing out of Hebrews? Hebrews 10:19. I probably should read it. having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us. It's not the old dead way where something had to die. Something died and came back from the dead. So it's a new and living way. Jesus is alive. He consecrated us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day, the big day, approaching. You can't do this by yourself. This thing works. It can work. And I'm going to address people who aren't even here today. If you're sitting out there in a car, driving down the road, sitting in your house, wherever you're listening, you cannot do this deal by yourself. And if you are a follower of Christ, you will be surrounded sooner or later by his people. And there will be some encouragement and some accountability to love one another and to do the right thing. And if you say, well, I'm out here, I keep getting into trouble, it may be because you don't have any big brothers and sisters around you that are helping you stay in your lane and do what it is you need to do.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, that's probably good. Let's pray. All right, Lord, I guess maybe a lot of this is just on a personal note, Father, just a lot going on. It's just hard to see all these hurting people, Lord, and to know that there are more out there. And it's not like we're the only church, Lord, but we have got to do what we're supposed to do. And we got to show up, Father, not at church primarily, but as a church. We got to show up with you every day. We got to march in there and say, I'm here to serve. What do you got today, Lord? What can I do for you, Father? God himself. And you've proven you're going to take care of us, Lord. We're so silly, getting afraid. Oh, what are we going to do? You've been taking care of us for a long time. You loved us before we were ever born. Knowing that we would be born in sin, you died for us anyway. How could we beat such a father, such a family? I guess, first of all, Lord, just anybody who doesn't know you, and maybe they had a decent family growing up or in a decent family now, but it's a void. There's something missing. And somehow, miraculously, like only you can do, Holy Spirit, you've kind of opened somebody's eyes and heart, and they're going, man, I need something like this. Whatever he's talking about, I need something like this. I need a family, a forever family that trumps my family here that I'll be with for eternity. Because I'm hurting, and I know a lot of hurting people. Lord, help us to get past ourselves. We all seem to be just gifted at being selfish. Help us get outside of ourselves, Lord, and pack someone else. So back to whoever it is that doesn't know you, Lord. May somebody today just say, okay, God, I get it. I'm lost without you. I do understand now that Jesus came, died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead to get me eternal life and abundant life. And I accept the gift of the forgiveness of my sins that he bought and paid for. I ask you to make me clean, like being born all over again, but born into this new family with a new life. And help me understand what you're doing and what you want to do in and through my life. Thank you for rescuing me, for saving me. All these words we use to describe it. Come live in me and through me. Change me from the inside out, like starting all over again. I know there'll be consequences to my previous actions, but at least we can start sowing some new seed, Lord. And Father, for those of us, we're just still holding on to these silly blankies, sucking our thumb, holding on to the blankie, just terrified to let go and grow up and grow on with our lives and let you do what it is you want to do. And going back to silly sins that so easily beset us, Lord. Help us get to a place where we're not stuck in the mud, sabotaging our serving you. And realize that when the enemy shuts us down, He stops us from having the impact in other people's lives that we need to have and being the family that we need and they need. Anyhow, you're the best. Wow. You are amazing. Beside you, there is no other. And we ask you to use us. Make us usable and use us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.